Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we start the program by talking with you about bald eagle watching days. We talk about it every year. It's a fun event, and a couple of guests for you today to talk about it, talk about eagles, and talk about the event itself. And it's coming right up, as a matter of fact, January 13th and 14th. John Keefe is chair of Eagle Watching Days Planning Committee, former president of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. And John Keefe, welcome. Great to have you with us.
And it's great to be back here.
And with us as well, Jeb Barzin. Always great to see him. He's a wildlife biologist, worked at the International Crane Foundation for over 28 years. Member of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council for 28 years and directed their eagle research. And Jeb, always great to see you. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Larry. Thanks for having us.
You may have some questions. Have you attended Eagle Watching Days? What were your favorite memories from it? Or where do you like to watch bald eagles? You may have some questions about general questions about eagles, and I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page, title, The Larry Mueller Show. And maybe first to start with, John, you could talk about the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. What's it all about?
Well, Ferry Bluff was an organization that was started up in the Sauk Prairie area about 28, 29 years ago. We're celebrating our 30th Eagle Watching Days, and actually Eagle Watching Days predated Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. But I think it kind of came hand in hand because there was an eagle roost at Ferry Bluff. There literally is a geographic location of Ferry Bluff. Some of our predecessors, our charter members, were active in arranging for the protection of this roost, transference of the land to the DNR, and placing some controls on the preservation of that particular roost. Now we do more than that. There's about 9 or 10 different roosts, depending upon the year, that we regularly monitor, all as part of our basic mission of protecting the eagle habitat in the Sauk Prairie area. Originally, it was a wintering eagle habitat because 30 years ago, you know, that's all we had were the eagles during the winter. Now, in just last couple of years, we've expanded our mission to deal with eagles and other birds on a year-round basis, because we have eagles in our backyard all year round now. There's nests right there in the Sauk Prairie area that are active and producing fledglings, hatchlings every year.
It's a great success story, isn't it, Jeb? We look at eagles and their comeback.
Absolutely. In 1972, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources surveyed 108 active eagle nests in the entire state of Wisconsin. And this in, 2015, the same Department of Natural Resources did that estimate, and they had over 1,500.
That's an amazing...
It's a great wildlife success story.
Yeah, and so really the mission of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council is to, I guess in some ways, help make sure that that even keeps growing, perhaps.
Indeed. It's... protecting the habitat, educating eagle watchers, government officials, landowners about why the birds are here and what they need in order to continue to survive in these environments.
You know, there's an overlap between what brings the eagles in winter, especially to the Sauk Prairie, and what brings people. Yeah. To that same area. Now, people aren't eating too many gizzard shad, so that's kind of in the purview of the eagles. But for the rest of it, the things that the eagles like are also things that people like. And so it's a really nice opportunity of trying to set up conservation that does what it's supposed to do, which is meeting needs of both people and eagles who share the same habitats.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And that sort of brings us to this bald eagle watching days. Been going on, as you said, John, for a long, long time. What kinds of activities do you have scheduled?
We have a wide variety of activities, indoors and out of doors. Of course, the big attraction is the opportunity to see live eagles flying, perching, fishing on the river relatively close up. So there's the outdoor activities there. Indoors at the River Arts Center and at Tripp Heritage Museum in Prairie du Sac, we have a number of different programs, including live Birds of Prey show put on by the Schlitz-Audubon Nature Center from Milwaukee. They are back with us after our first time last year and, you know, good reviews last year, and I fully expect that they will repeat that this year. Live Eagle, live raptors, and a story about each one of those that seems to fascinate children of all ages. David Stokes is a wildlife educationalist who basically has a show called Laughing with Animals, a wide variety of animals that's very educational and, again, entertaining. At the trip, we've got two presentations, I think, of interest. One is a family history, if you will, of Old Abe, the Civil War Eagle mascot. The family of Frank LeCour in Sauk Prairie originally obtained Old Abe up in the Eau Claire area and gave Abe to the Wisconsin militia going off into the Civil War. And so he tells the background story of Old Abe with his family and grandchildren. Very fascinating there. And then Dr. Joe Kelly, a local vet who's the first responder to aiding injured and ill eagles, is going to be talking about emergency eagle care as well. And then one of the highlights capping it off is the release of some rehabilitated eagles from the VFW park in Prairie by the Raptor Education Group. Marge Gibson and her staff are going to be releasing some eagles that they have rehabilitated. That is always an awesome and moving sight there with, you know, she tells a story about each bird, what happened to it, how long she's been taking care of it, and then letting it go back into the wild.
And you're seeing those eagles right up close.
Oh, absolutely. Both at the Bird of Prey show as well as at the eagle release, you can be as close to an eagle as from, like, sitting across the table from them. Because you're really close up, have an opportunity to see the birds and then to see it take off. And, you know, you're always holding your breath when the eagle is released and flung upward. You know, make sure that it goes. And we've never had one that didn't make it. But you're always holding your breath, and it's just an awesome sight to see it take off and find its place back in the wild.
Yeah, I would bet there'd be 100% success rate with somebody like Marge Gibson in charge, Jeb. Yeah.
There are a few rehabilitators in the state of Wisconsin, or perhaps nationwide, who do as good of a job as Marge does in rehabilitating eagles, getting them truly fit to be released back into the wild, and a good success rate after they're actually released.
Well, we'll take some calls. You can join in, by the way, if you have a question about eagles or about the eagle watching days. I hope you'll join us. Or maybe an experience to share as well relating to eagles. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. And let's turn to Doug in Prairie du Chien. Doug, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and hi to your guest. I have a comment. Near Eastman, Wisconsin, last year there was a large group of eagles, and I believe there was well over 100 in one spot. And they're back again this year. I didn't see quite as many as I did last year, but my goodness, that's an awful lot of eagles in one spot out in the fields and in the trees. And I would think it'd make a Guinness record for the most eagles in one area. But I have a question. Is there any known detriment for these being band together in such close proximity that you'd know of?
All right. Good questions and interesting comment. Jeb Barzin, let's turn to you.
Well, the Mississippi River is a good place for eagles to concentrate. They both have access to the river where they feed on fish, and they also have access to agricultural fields where they feed on carrion, basically, or dead animals or animal parts that they can find in those fields, the same sorts of things that we have in the Sauk Prairie area. You can take a lot of eagles, more than 100 eagles, and lose them in the Mississippi River Valley because it's quite big. In the Sauk Prairie area, they're a little bit easier to see because the Sauk or the Wisconsin River is essentially that valley is a little bit smaller, so they're a little bit more accessible at some times. It's a normal thing for eagles to group in the wintertime. I don't think they necessarily, quote, like to group together, but they often will. And we think that the reasons why they group together are to their food is aggregated. So in the Sauk Prairie area, they're often feeding on gizzard shad, which are concentrated in the river. But they have to have no ice on the river because if it's iced over, they don't have access to the fish. They also like to find those fish where there's bluffs located nearby, which occur both in the Mississippi River Valley as well as in Sauk Prairie, where they sleep at night. And we've had as many as 150 eagles sleeping in one nighttime communal roost in the Sauk Prairie area. So it's actually not a record to have 100 eagles in a general vicinity. And actually, our highest roost count is 450-some eagles in the Sauk Prairie area. But it's still a spectacular sight.
When you see
100 birds in that area, it's really, it's just amazing to see. So it's something that is awe-inspiring to see. I think the final part of that question was, is there a detriment?
Yeah.
And we don't know of any. And when the birds are grouped together, they communicate, I think. We don't know how, but they seem to be able to communicate about food locations and where to go to sleep at night and things like that. So there are advantages of being together. But we also know that eagles are highly territorial. And so it's perhaps not within their nature to necessarily be concentrated unless the environmental conditions essentially force them to be grouped together. So there might be some detriment of grouping together, but the birds have to kind of find that balance between benefits and costs of that grouping in the wintertime.
Very interesting. Let's turn to Jay in Plum City. Jay, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi, guys. Jay, I have two questions. The first is, I see eagles frequently feeding on roadkills, you know, but I rarely, I don't know, maybe once or twice in my life, have I ever seen them actively hunting and catching something. And that makes me wonder, what percent of their food is scavenging and what percent is from hunting live critters? And my second question is about food. Say it's winter and the weather can't get anything.
All right. So
I think,
John, go ahead.
Really, part of it depends upon the conditions at any particular time. If we're having a mild winter with very little snow cover, you know, that basically broadens the area in which the eagles can hunt. They can go inland and search out smaller game as well as scavenger on things that might have been brought down, a dead deer left in the woods type of things, or the remains of a deer left after hunters have taken him out. And so there's the aspect of, is there snow in the ground? If there is a lot of snow in the ground, the birds are going to tend to congregate at a near open water source, like the Mississippi, like the Wisconsin River, and at Prairie du Sac, or one of the things that we have going for us, we have a hydroelectric dam right north of Prairie, which keeps that water open all the time. Never seen in 25 years of water freeze anywhere close to that dam, which means there's a source of food there. So they're looking for fish, especially when it gets really cold and there is snow on the ground. They will tend to concentrate in an area where the water is moving, where the fish are available, and they can try their luck. Now, they don't get a fish every time they go down, so sometimes it takes several dives before they come up with lunch or breakfast.
You know, last week Scott Craven was on the program and talking about, it came up that someone actually sent on our Facebook page, the Larry Mueller Show, a photo of an eagle dining on a roadkill deer along the roadside, and you know, that in some ways, it's kind of cool to see, but it can also pose a danger for the eagles themselves, Jeb.
It's risky food because an eagle is a big bird, and it takes a while for it to take flight off the ground. And so if it's feeding close to a road, it gets good food from that deer, but it perceives a car, if it's traveling at a pretty high rate of speed, more slowly than it should, and so it tries to take flight when it perceives the car being close, but doesn't really get free of where the car is passing. So often eagles are injured by being hit by cars when they're feeding close to roads. It's always a good idea to slow down when you're seeing an eagle on a carcass, because they might just try and take flight, but too late to avoid the car.
Yeah, I'll bet some of those eagles that Marge Gibson brings in have probably been hit by cars.
A few, but those actually cause injuries that are almost always fatal. It's very difficult to fix broken bones, and especially wings, because they're such fragile things. It is possible occasionally, but it's a very high-risk, you know, sort of operation.
What just to follow that for one more question, how are they normally injured? Do we have ideas about how eagles are normally, you know, injured or even killed?
Well, by far the mortalities that we know of are from lead poisoning. Lead poisoning is a huge mortality factor for eagles, and they get that lead primarily from hunter-shot deer. So those carrion feeding birds are out feeding on gut piles, and when a bullet goes through a deer, it doesn't just kind of create a lead bullet doesn't just create a single channel. It actually creates a whole cloud of lead fragments that occur in the carcass, and so it's an actual danger to people to some extent, as well as to birds. But for eagles, they're very, very susceptible to it because they're eating the soft tissues that are in the gut piles that have these lead fragments in them, and then build up a very high lead level in their blood and get sick from them. And so that's a real serious, the spikes of eagles going into rehabilitators always comes following the deer gun season. And then there's some other smaller spikes where they have access to lead, such as with lead fishing lures and things like that.
And things like that, sure. Kevin in La Crosse, I want to give you a chance to join in. Kevin, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning. My wife and I enjoy kayaking on the Mississippi and the backwaters, and we've had the good fortune to encounter eagles real close and just some beautiful time with them. Is there a regulation that states that we can't be to a certain distance to them when we're out there in our kayaks?
I'm not a conservation officer, but my understanding of the law, if that gives me a little bit of leeway to move, and we might get a conservation officer calling in to correct me. Technically, it is illegal to disturb eagles, especially near nests. Generally, the rule of thumb is if you view eagles at a respectful distance, it shouldn't be too much of a problem. It's always a difficult thing to kind of understand the difference between when you're too close and not. But by and large, if you're close enough and the eagles are taking flight and moving, that's usually a good indication that you're too close.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think one of the things that, you know, so in your case, kayaking, there are a lot of nests in the Mississippi River Valley, and you don't want to approach nests, because even if you don't see birds fly, you might be preventing adults from coming back and provisioning their chicks with young. In the wintertime, the equivalent of that sort of scenario is that one of the earlier caller, I think it was Jay, who was talking about feeding eagles. A lot of times we don't perceive the birds are actually hunting for food. They're perched in a tree. But actually, in the wintertime, that's really important for eagles, because being perched in a tree, they are conserving energy both by not flying, but also by keeping their wings close to their body, which is like having your parka on versus not having it on in terms of thermoregulation. And so it's very efficient for the eagles to hunt by being perched. And so when we have undeveloped shoreline where eagles can perch. If people are using those undeveloped shorelines and constantly flushing the birds, that actually eats into their energy budget and can be very negative for the birds. So the winter equivalent of not approaching nests to disturb the birds is not approaching perched birds for that perfect photo and trying to be back far enough so that the birds remain perching to the extent possible.
Interesting. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the call. Kay in Minocqua, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Kay.
Good morning, Larry. I'm glad to hear your cold is better.
Thank you.
And good morning, John. Thank you so much for this program. Would you go through the reproductive cycle of the eagle? What time of the year, which I believe is just about now, do they mate? When are the eggs laid? When do the eggs hatch? And when do the eaglets leave the nest?
All right.
Jeb can correct me if I'm wrong here, but the eagles do start nesting and breeding a lot earlier. I think a lot of people realize late February, early March is fairly common as far as getting ready to set up housekeeping, if you will. By late March, you know, some of the eggs may be laid. Early April, hatchlings frequently by June or certainly July, the birds, the young birds will have grown to full adult size. They haven't got their adult plumage yet, but they're adult size. So you can imagine what a nest would be like with two or three eaglets in there. And then they fledge at that particular time. They usually stay around pretty close to mom and dad for a period of time, sometime for an extended period of time. But by the end of summer in August, you'll see a lot more of the immature eagles flying around the nest as well. So that's the general cycle there. Obviously, there are exceptions to this because there's a lot of variability in terms of eagles and all aspects of their lives.
Yeah.
The only thing I would add to that is wind depends on where. So you can find eggs in eagle nests as early as late February in the Sauk Prairie area, but you wouldn't find that in the Ashland area. And so it's, you know, Ashland, that phenology that John correctly described for the Sauk Prairie area is maybe a month later in the Ashland area. And it could be a month earlier as far south as, say, Florida. So it depends on where you're talking about eagles nesting as far as what that phenology might be.
Interesting points. And, Kay, thanks again.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. David in New Berlin, it's your turn. Hi, David. David, are you there? Hello. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm here. I was told to get off my Bluetooth. Yes. Well, I love your show, Larry, and I actually put it on my phone to alert me at 11:30 on Wednesday to make sure I could hear it. I'm looking forward to the Sauk Prairie Eagle Days this weekend. I'm going to be doing shows at 7 o'clock and 11 on animals who live in the habitats of eagles. But I have a comment about roadkill deer and eagles. I was told by Scott Mayhew at the National Eagle Center that oftentimes bald eagles sitting on a deer or a roadkill animal will actually stay on the kill longer than you might expect because they're protecting their food source. So a car, oncoming car, is really competition rather than a danger from being hit by a car. And then, of course, maybe at the last minute they'll move away, but it's something interesting that I learned from the people at the National Eagle Center.
Oh, very, very cool. And Jeb, you'd comment on that?
You know, the bottom line, Dave, is you're right that the bottom line is that the eagle takes off late from the carcass and can be hit by a car.
Right.
Eagles do mantle. That's what it's called when a bird will drop its wings somewhat and be kind of hunched over. That's a defense posture. They'll often mantle in defense of food. You don't always see that in the case of an eagle being on a car. So I'm a little skeptical that that's frequently what birds are doing. But really, the answer is still the same, that eagles take off quite late and are vulnerable to being hit by cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing because as naturalists, we make decisions about why animals do certain things. Of course, the eagles don't talk to us, so we make a guess, and generally that guess is what we call science. So I look forward to this weekend.
You know, David, when I was helping a graduate student long ago in the Arctic, we were watching tundra swans nesting, and we were studying their incubation behaviors, and we were working really hard. But I used to have these really weird dreams, and in the dream, basically, I would say, you know what, all this science stuff is silly. I'm just going to go and ask the bird why it's why this male incubates for a long time and this other male, he won't even incubate at all. And it was such a wonderful experience just to go and ask these birds why they did it. It was just so much easier. And then I had to wake up.
David, thank you. Appreciate the call very much.
Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. So David is one of the people who is going to be there.
That was David Stokes.
David Stokes. Yeah.
And David will have a show on Friday night for people who may be coming into Eagle Days a day early. David will be at the River Arts Center for his show, Laughing with the Animals, at 7 o'clock, and then repeating that again on Saturday morning at the River Arts Center.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I just want to make sure we go through, we've got a so Friday night at 7. Do you need to have reservations for any of this?
Reservations, no. Tickets, yes. So let me explain that. For David's show on Friday night, neither ticket nor reservation. And these are free shows. To keep this family friendly. On Saturday for the Bird of Prey show, we do issue tickets there in the lobby of the River Arts Center for the 11 o'clock and the 3:30 shows, basically to make sure we don't overfill the auditorium for fire marshal regulations. Are we pass out the tickets until we run out, because frequently those shows are filled up, and so we want to make sure we're complying with the law and not creating any risk there. So there's free tickets to be picked up in the lobby for those shows. For David's shows, there has not yet been a necessity to pass out tickets, but he does just such a good job that people are going to find out pretty soon.
I'd also say that we've worked quite hard with the Packers football organization and the National Broadcasting to make sure that the playoff game is outside of the period of Eagle Days. So I just want folks to know that we're trying to take everything into account.
And you can, 8 in the morning, there's, I think from 8 to noon, there's a pancake breakfast.
By the Kiwanis,
which
yes.
I've participated in, and it's always quite good. And then, so you can get some breakfast down there first thing in the morning, and then you've got all day with. There's raffle tickets for sale. I know that. Raise a little money for that.
We have bus tours that are leaving from the River Arts Center too. Again, free. We do need to sign up until the bus is full, and we have guides who take you to 3 different sites along the river where frequently we can see eagles either perching or flying or fishing or whatever, and then back to the River Arts Center. We also do those bus tours on Saturdays throughout eagle season from now through February 18th, and they leave from the Cedarberry Inn. And you can get some more information about this on our website, Prairie Bluff Eagle Council, all lowercase, .org, or on our Facebook pages. We have listings on that, too.
And I think we have a link on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. So if you didn't get all that down, just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and we'll have some links for you right there. I see there's even a little wine tasting going on.
That's been known to happen, yes. Wollersheim Wine has always been a large supporter of Eagle Days and Eagle Habitat in the area. And they have a wine called Eagle White, and they have that available for tasting. And they do donate the proceeds of this to Eagle Habitat Preservation and Eagle Days itself. So enjoy. And they're very close to a roost, and you frequently can watch the eagles and drink your wine at the same time.
which is kind of nice, too. Now, do you recommend people bring, if they have binoculars, bring them along? Or
absolutely. The binoculars are very, very helpful. We're close to the river, and you can see them perching with the binoculars very easily. If they are perched, a spotting scope is very helpful. Spotting scopes don't help that much when they're flying because it's hard to move them that way. Binoculars are much better there. But at the dam, at the VFW park, at the Ferry Bluffs Overlook, at the Municipal Park in Prairie du Sac, there are good viewing places, all three, and binoculars are most helpful.
I would add that at the Overlook that John just mentioned, there will be folks out there with spotting scopes set up that are available for everybody to look through. So even if you don't have binoculars or spotting scopes or any fancy viewing equipment, you can still get good looks at the birds out in the wild by just going to the Overlook, and people can work with you there, provide information, but also give you good views of the birds.
Well, it's always a very fun time. I can tell you I've always enjoyed it, and especially if you've got some kids to bring along. That even adds to the fun of it. Guys, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it, and we'll look forward to Eagle Days this coming weekend at Prairie du Sac.
Thanks for having us.
We'll see you there. Thank you, Larry.
John Keefe chairs Eagle Days Planning Committee, former president of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, and Jeb Barzin, a wildlife biologist. He's worked at the International Crane Foundation, did work there for 28 years, member of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council for 28 years, and directed their eagle research. I tell you what, it's always a lot of fun, and if you've got some time to see it Friday night at 7 or all day Saturday, anytime on Saturday, you're going to enjoy it. And again, go to the website and take a look at the specific times for each event. Coming up, we're going to talk about foraging for wild edibles. That next here on the Ideas Network.